A special welcome to you if you are a guest here today. My name is Keith. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. Jesus was torn on Good Friday. We call it Good Friday not because what Jesus endured on that day was good. Far from it. There was nothing good about it, except for, of course, this mysterious love that moved Jesus forward one step at a time, one painful step at a time. His passion, as we call it. And with each step of love, Jesus was torn. Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus' clothes were torn from his body. He was stripped of dignity and adorned with shame. We're told that Jesus' flesh was torn. His back was scored with the whip and his brow torn by a mocking crown of thorns. And his body was torn. His body was torn when he hung on a Roman cross, pierced with three nails and one spear that tore through his lung. Even Jesus' garments were torn up. As he hung on the cross, his clothes were torn into pieces and handed out as souvenirs to people in the crowd. It is no exaggeration to say that Jesus was torn on every step of his passion on Good Friday. And I've often wondered, why was Jesus' death so violent? As a father, I've tried to protect my children from the reality of violence in our world. When they were young and the radio would turn to a news story about something brutal or that has happened in our world, I would quickly change the radio station. I didn't want to expose my young children to the reality of violence in our world. There is something about violence that we know is not from God. So what then do we do with the crucifixion of Jesus? What do we do with it? There is this brutality about the cross that makes us uncomfortable, and rightly so. When it comes to the violence on the cross, we can only give it a sideways glance because to face it straight on is simply too much for us to bear at times. But church, this morning, let me help you see what we all should see on this day. Let me help you look the violence of the cross square in the face to see the truth of our human condition and of God's great love for each one of us. On this Good Friday, we ask the question, what good can come out of such violence? Why was Jesus, the Son of God, torn on the hill that they call the skull, Golgotha? Why was he torn? Well, Jesus was torn because that's what sin does. Sin tears, big or small, whether it's the sins we've done or the sins that have been done against us. Sin tears. It separates. It tears. Gossip tears. Their words of gossip are these weapons used to cut people down. It tears. Racism and sexism, they tear at our shared humanity. They do violence to the image of God in which every person is made equal with dignity. Sin tears. Pornography tears. Things that God meant for good. It tears couples apart. It fractures healthy human sexuality. It degrades bearers of God's image. It tears. Lying erodes trust. A coveting pulls apart contentment. Unresolved anger, it severs joy. Pride reduces the value of another person. Hate separates people. Resentment destroys relationships. Do you hear it? Sin cuts down, it erodes, it pulls apart, severs, reduces, separates, destroys. Quite simply, sin tears. And each one of us in our own life, we know this to be true at a deeply human level. You know that sin tears because you've actually felt it yourself when someone has sinned against you. You've felt sin's violence when someone speaks an unkind word about you behind your back. You feel it. Or you feel sin's tearing when somebody's greed has actually robbed you of something that you're owed. Or maybe when someone's abuse broke you, you felt sin's tear. Or maybe it was when a leader failed you or a spouse betrayed you. We have all felt the tearing of sin when we've been sinned against. So it should come as no surprise that the same kind of thing happens when we sin against our God. You see, we're quick to dismiss our own sin as no big deal in our culture. We brush it under the rug. We're okay with little white lies, and little white lies turn into little white lust and little white greed and little white hatred. And we downplay our offenses as we downplay these offenses that we have against others as no big deal, and we downplay our offenses against God. Yet all we need to do is take one look at the cross, and there we see the crushing weight of sin's reality. It was our sin that tore Jesus on the cross. And so on this day, today, we should not look away. We should have the courage to look square in the face what Jesus has done for us. Church, do you see where Jesus' passion, his deep love, led him? On the cross, Jesus is bearing the effects of sin in his own body. He is being torn for the sin that tears. On the cross, Jesus is taking upon himself the effects of the world's transgressions, mine and yours. Isn't this what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5? When he says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus experiences physically what sin does explicitly. His body is torn. But it's not just his body, is it? There's something in his soul that is torn as well. And we hear this in the agony of the cry that he proclaims from the cross. When Matthew tells the story in the gospel, we get the subheading of the Hebrew language. When Mark tells the story, it's in this Hebrew dialect called Aramaic. And Jesus cries out from the cross, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And in English, it means, my God. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a cry of separation. God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken, it's a strong word, isn't it? It means deserted, cut off. It means separated. Church, was Jesus really forsaken? Was the Son of God really cut off from God the Father? Was he separated from the one he called Abba? I have always wrestled with what this cry from the cross really means, because in some way it doesn't seem to fit my understanding of who God is. Was Jesus actually forsaken by the Father as he bore the weight of sin upon the cross? Well, in a word, yes, he was. He had to be. He chose to be. And here's why. Because on the cross, Jesus, the one who knew no sin, became sin for us. When Jesus became sin for us, he bore in his body the full consequences of sin's tearing. He takes into himself the separation that sin causes between unholy people and a holy God. Jesus bears our sin not only in his body, but also in his soul. In the deepest part of what made him a person, the person of God who took on flesh. He feels the tearing not simply in his body, but also in his soul. In effect, on the cross, Jesus is experiencing our judgment day. He experiences our judgment day. The real separation from God that we deserve is taken upon God himself in the person of Christ. He is being torn from the relationship of love and life that he's known ever since the beginning of time. It's why he cries, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Like I said, there is an anguish to the cross that is really hard to look at. But today we need to look. We need to look lest we miss why he did it, lest we miss his great passion. On the cross, Jesus is torn for the sin that tears, and he is separated from the Father for the sin that separates. And so it's no wonder that on that day, the sky went dark. We read in the scriptures, they tell us that from noon until 3 PM, darkness covered the land. And now, throughout the Bible, darkness is a symbol of God's judgment. In Matthew 22, verse 13, Jesus speaks of hell as the outer darkness. Darkness is what happens when we are shut out from the source of light and life. The darkness of that day pointed to the judgment Jesus was experiencing in our place. He was being shut out from the source of light and life so that we would never need to be. Oh, mercy. But the darkness of that day represents more than what Jesus the Son was experiencing. It represents what God the Father was experiencing too. Listen to how the prophet Amos foretells of this dark day. Amos 8, 9 to 10, it says, "In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your religious festivals into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads." And then this, "I will make that time like mourning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day." When Amos foretells about the darkness of that day in Jerusalem, he speaks of it as a time of mourning for an only son. Yes, the darkness of Good Friday is the darkness of the son taking on God's judgment upon himself, but the darkness is also the darkness that God the Father knows in his heart. Mourning for his one and only son who has chosen to take this judgment upon himself. Chosen to take this judgment upon himself. Chosen is a key word. We should remember that the separation that Jesus experiences isn't something that the Father inflicts upon the Son. Of course not. No good father would ever inflict such a thing on their child. Rather, the darkness of Easter Friday is something the Father and the Son do together, something they willingly experience together. They are torn from each other for us. The Son was torn from the Father for the sin that tears. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for this world that he loves. He did it to reveal the glory of God, the love of God. See, when we stare straight into the cross and all that took place there, rather than shy away, maybe we need to take off our shoes because we're standing on holy ground. But friends, there is in the story of Good Friday, it doesn't end there. There is one more tearing that we need to see. Because when Jesus hung under the weight of sin, the scriptures say, as he breathed his last breath, the curtain of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. The curtain was torn. The curtain was massive in the temple. It was 60 feet high and 30 feet wide and almost a foot thick. And it was massive because it served a massive purpose. It separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple in Jerusalem. You see, the whole temple was constructed around this idea that sin separates unholy people from a holy God. And so the temple was built with all these courtyards separated by walls. And the further you went into the temple, through each of these walls, the closer you came to something holy. The first courtyard was called the courtyard of the Gentiles. This was as far as a non-Jew could go to worship the holy God. And after this was what was called the court of women. And in the first century context, this was as far as a Jewish woman could go in order to worship a holy God. It's simply the way it worked in that day, in that time and place. Then there came the court of Israel and then the court of priests, each getting closer and closer to the center of the temple. Beyond the court of priests was a special court called the holy place. This was where the priests would prepare and give sacrifices to the holy God. But there was one more court called the Holy of Holies. And it was here where God's presence dwelt. It was the closest thing to heaven on earth. And the Holy of Holies was separated by this huge curtain. And only once a year, on the most holy of days, the Day of Atonement, a single priest would go behind the curtain to offer a sacrifice in the presence of God for the forgiveness of sins. I've been told that this priest would have a rope tied around their waist so that in the event they are overcome by God's holiness, someone could pull them out. The curtain kept the separation necessary between sinful humanity and a holy God. But as Jesus breathed his final breath, the curtain was torn in two. From top to bottom, the veil was torn. Do you know what it means? Pastor Darrell Johnson says, it means that the separation between the Holy One and sinners is gone. In that act, God is making visible the invisible reality taking place outside the temple up on the hill. The separation has been overcome. There is no longer any need for the curtain. As Jesus was torn, so was the curtain. Jesus experiences separation from God so that now there would be no more separation. Oh, friends, that you would have the courage to stare into the violence of the cross long enough to see why we call it Good Friday. May you see the good of what Christ has done for you. And for the world that he came to save, the world that he loves, he has torn the curtain in two, and now there is no more separation. Everything that needs to be done to live at peace with the holy God has been done. It is finished. And today, Jesus isn't simply inviting you to see his great love for you. He's inviting you to receive the full effect of his sacrifice. He did it for a reason. And he wants you to receive it. He wants you to let the one who knew no sin to become your sin so that you might become the righteousness of God. Will you receive Christ and his gospel in your life today? Will you receive the good that Jesus' passion established on that dark Friday? Will you receive Jesus' grace and forgiveness and be reconciled to the God who made you and loves you deeply? Well, if your answer is yes, then in just a moment, I want to invite you to come forward and signify your yes by coming forward to receive the communion elements. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward and the communion servers to take their place right now. In this meal, we remember what Jesus has done. His body was given for us. His blood was shed for us. Jesus was torn to mend us to God. And there are three stations that you can come forward to receive from. There are two at the front and one at the back, and one up top, and we weren't planning as many people to sit up front, up top. So what we're going to do up there, just to help with the flow, is Rick is there, standing there. He's going to dismiss you by sections. So maybe wait for your section to be dismissed to receive communion up front, or you can come and receive from down here. But there are three stations where you can come and receive from. And if you're unable to come forward, if you have some mobility challenge, when the lines have died down, you can put up your hand, and we have John at the back who would be happy to serve you at your seat. Will you give your yes to Jesus? He loves you deeply. You are his passion. And his passion is to reveal the glory of God. And he does it all on the cross. Give your yes to him by coming forward. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, after giving thanks, he took the bread and he tore it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Remember me when you eat it." And likewise, after supper, he gave thanks again, and he took the cup and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's shed for the forgiveness of sins. Remember me when you drink it." Come and receive the gift of Jesus' passion for you today.